is a parsh. So he actually doesn't have any Torahs printed here, at least not in my edition for Parshas B'Shalach. But Shavuot Pesach, which of course is when we're actually commemorating this experience of coming out of Mitzrayim, he has Torahs that are related to Parshas B'Shalach. Okay, so that's what we're going to look today. Again, a little bit of a different schedule this week. Tomorrow is Tu B'Shvat. So tomorrow we'll have a special Tu B'Shvat shir. So we'll move our Avodas Yisrael shir to today. Okay, so let's see. It's a little bit, there's, you know, Kedarko B'Kodesh, there's a little bit of deep Kabbalah that may be a little hard for us, but the Yisod is very, very important. And it'll help us to understand coming out of Mitzrayim. And the truth is, it'll give us a little perspective on Tu B'Shvat also, I think, in terms of the way that, the cycle of nature. Okay, so let's see. B'Parshas B'Shalach. Okay, it's on page Kuf Lamed Vav, in the edition that you have, for those who have that edition, and it's on the screen in front of you. B'Parshas B'Shalach, Vayihi B'Shalach Paro Es Ha'am, V'lo Nacham Elohim Derech Eretz Plishtim, V'Gomer. How does our Parsha begin? Paro lets the Jews go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us away from Mitzrayim, and Hashem says, we can't go by way of the Plishtim, because it's too close to Mitzrayim, and maybe the Jews will have a change of heart and want to go back to Mitzrayim. Which is really such a crazy puzzle, if you think about it. I mean, after everything we had suffered for 210 years, and we just saw 10 Makos, and now all of a sudden, what, we're going to get into a little skirmish on the way out of Mitzrayim through the wilderness, and all of a sudden we're going to say, you know what, we're better off back in Mitzrayim. But one of the themes that we see in this Parsha is sort of the ups and downs of the faith of a Jew. You see a Klal Yisrael at moments where they're questioning and saying, maybe we should go back to Mitzrayim. You have moments where the Jews cry out in desperation. And you have moments where the Jewish people trust Moshe Rabbeinu with a simplicity and a clarity. And they do exactly what Hashem asks them to do. So what's that about? What are these ups and downs that the Jewish people go through in our Parsha? So let's see. Ki yadua sha'kadosh baruch hu hofia aleinu b'chasadav derech pisuach v'diluk. Shelo b'hadraga b'yitzias Mitzrayim. We know that Hashem was Hofia. Hashem appeared in His kindness to the Jewish people. Derech Pisuach V'Diluk. Pesach. Hashem passed over. It doesn't just mean that Hashem passed over our homes, which were painted with blood. Right? It doesn't just mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified Egyptians to punish and spared the Jews. But it means the whole experience of jumping us out of Mitzrayim was Shelo B'Hadraga. What does that mean? Not in accordance with the normative process of Madregos. Usually if you're on a very low level, you don't overnight get to go to a very high level. It doesn't happen like that. It's a process of step by step of climbing the ladder of Avodas Hashem. And yet Hashem in His kindness pulled us out of Mitzrayim from a very, very low place to a very, very high place, and He did it very, very suddenly. Why is that so? He explains, Ki lulei hismamanu, chas v'shalom avadnu b'tumas Mitzrayim hamaleya gilulim. Because if we would have delayed, God forbid, we would have been lost in the Tumah of Mitzrayim, Hamaleya Gilulim, filled with all sorts of idolatry. We would have been sunken into Mitzrayim and stuck there forever. An idea that we find in the writings of the Arizal, in the Sefer Chesed LaAvram, Rav Avram Azulai, describes how the Jews were on the 49th level of Tumah. You've all heard this idea. If we would have remained just a second longer, we would have fallen to level 50, the point of no return. I told you, Chaver, in the past that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writes in Shemos Perek Gimel that before Mashiach comes, we're actually going to fall to level 50. But because we have the Torah, we have the ability to get out. Klal Yisrael, before they had the Torah in Mitzrayim, if you fall to level 50, it's the point of no return. Okay? So Hashem in His kindness rushed us out of Mitzrayim. Derech Pisuach V'Dilug. Hashem hastened the redemption so we wouldn't get stuck in Mitzrayim. And that's part of the reason we're rushing with the matzah. Okay, good. Now, listen to this.
Randy, I have a question.
Yeah.
If we were in such a rush to get out of Mitzrayim, why did Moshe have us wait from the night when Paro said get out to the next afternoon when we left?
It's a great question.
Such a rush that
right.
One more second would have made us like descend to no longer can come back from Tumah. Why was it necessary?
It's a great question. Meaning, why walk such a fine line? Why not, you know, so get us out earlier? Yeah, this is exactly the question that some of the Svarim HaKadoshim ask. Part of the answer is, well, let's answer it from a Maseches Pesachim, since we're learning Pesachim this year. Let's answer from a Maseches Pesachim, standpoint. The Gemara in Pesachim says that only something that can become chametz is eligible to be matzah. So you'll say, that's weird. If you want to avoid chametz, right? So dafka, you should eat things that don't have the potential to become chametz. Why would I dafka make the matzah out of something that has the ability to undergo a process of chimutz? And the answer is to show that we're willing to engage the chametz and rise above the chametz. So part of what we're doing in Mitzrayim is trying to go down to the lowest places and then sort of to bring out from that lowest place, to dip into that lowest place and to bring out godliness from that place. It's an experience that was once in our history, and that's why the Torah says in three places, don't ever go back to Mitzrayim. The work is done. Hashem brought us to the depths of Tumas Mitzrayim, and from there Klal Yisrael was born. Right? Again, there are many mashalim that the Svarim HaKadoshim bring, like a seed that's planted in the ground and rots to the point of almost complete destruction as it decomposes in the ground and then it sprouts. Or an egg, also, at the point where it's almost spoiled and rotten, it's able to turn the corner and to be fertilized. Right? So it's this amazing process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing a certain birth out of a place of death. And therefore, we want to get every last bit of Tumas. We don't want to get stuck in Mitzrayim. We obviously want to be able to turn that corner. But we want to dip down as low as we can, so to speak, into Tumas Mitzrayim, and then to emerge from there to show part of the greatness of Hashem, that even from such a low place, right? That even from such a low place, it's possible for a person to emerge. But it's an obvious question, right? Why walk such a fine line? Why make your matzah out of something that can become chametz? And the answer is, it shows a certain ability for us to, again, we're not afraid of the dark. We're not afraid of the dark. Moshe Rabbeinu walked right into the darkness at Har Sinai. The dark clouds, Asher Shama Elokim, that's where he found Hashem. So we go into the Tuma. Again, we don't choose to do it, and that's why we don't go back to Mitzrayim. But if Hashem puts you in Mitzrayim, you have to realize I'm there for a reason, and I'm trying to recover a holy spark from that low place. Okay? But you have to understand, and again, this is part of the answer to Dov's question, that when we came out, we were still like a little bit dazed and confused, right? Meaning we hadn't earned coming out of Mitzrayim, you know? It's a bad mashal, but I'll give it just to make the point. Yeah, imagine a guy, you know, imagine a guy is, I don't know, he's about tshuva, and he's been frum for about like 30 seconds, right? And now they're dressing him up to look like a Rosh Hashiva. So like a little bit he knows a little bit he's been in the presence of some big rabbi, so a little bit he knows how to like fake it, but he's not really fit for the part. Right? He's playing a part that he's not really comfortable with. Now he's like speaking on behalf of the yeshiva, how the yeshiva transformed his life. He's been in the yeshiva for like 30 seconds, right? But they slap a black hat on his head and they say, okay, give a speech and I'll record a video so everyone can tell everyone how the yeshiva changed your life. A little bit it's true, and a little bit I'm not in sync with myself. So Klal Yisrael are on this really low level. Hashem grabs us by the back of the neck, yanks us out of Mitzrayim, and says, okay, you're the Am HaNivchar. Right? Go be Makari of the world. Go teach the world what it means to be the chosen people. And we're like, I don't really know how that works. We're not so comfortable with that yet. So look what happens. Uvizeh Yevuar Divrei HaMedrash HaNiflaim. With this, we can begin to understand the words of the Medrash Shekasav, Shemalu v'lo paru b'mitzrayim, kedei shelo liyismameya od. They were in such a rush to get out of Mitzrayim, that even though we know that they got out of Mitzrayim in the merit of two bloods, what are the two bloods? The blood of the Karban Pesach, and the blood of Bris Milah. But says the Medrash, malu, they circumcised themselves, velo paru, but they did not perform priya. However, what is priya? What is mila and what is priya? Who knows? Anyone ever watch a bris up close?
Rabbi, isn't priya where they where like they draw out a little blood?
That's the mitzitza. What's the priya? What's the stage called priya? Mila and then priya. Mila is the cutting off of the foreskin. Priya is the peeling back of the skin, right, to expose the atara, what we call the crown of the male organ, right? So not only do we cut away a piece of skin, but we try to uncover, so to speak, what's hidden beneath. That's what Priya sort of represents. It's a giloy, it's an uncovering of something beneath the surface. Again, it's part of the bris mila process, right? There's mila, there's priya, and then there's the metzitza, okay? So in Mitzrayim, the Jews cut away the foreskin, but they didn't do stage two of a bris mila, which all of you had once upon a time, a stage called priya, the peeling back of the skin, to further expose the member beneath. So the question is, well, why didn't they do that? So the Medrash says, well, they didn't do it because they were in a big rush. Says the Kushnitzer Magid, hold on a second. And this, again, this is part of Dov's question. Like, so start a little bit earlier, right? Start the bris mila 5 minutes earlier, or 5 seconds earlier. It doesn't take so long to do priya. When the moel, right, when a moel does a bris, he makes the bracha, he slices off the piece of arla on top, and then immediately afterwards, he peels back the skin, he pulls down on the skin. That's called priya. It doesn't take a long time. So everything was so precise to the second that they didn't have time for priya? What does that mean? V'hadavar nifla, and furthermore, if you'll tell me priya is a more painful procedure, and it's a bigger surgery, you know, it's not the type of surgery that you can do, come into the hospital, get it done, and then leave. You'd have to spend the night in the hospital. V'hadavar nifla, I don't understand. It's hard for us to understand. Davar nifla lahavin. Kevan sheshishim ribo malu kol echad v'nisrapu b'sha achas l'malam en azman v'ateva. Since 600,000 males circumcised themselves, and each one healed miraculously very quickly in a way that transcends time and nature, right? Meaning, the bris mila also, they had a miraculous recovery from, on the spot. So the question then becomes, im kein, haya lehem lefroa gam kein, be'ezer harofe kol basar. Then they should have done priya, and with the help of the healer of all flesh, they would have had a miraculous recovery from the priya also. Right? If you're too nervous to do the surgery, so don't do bris mila either. And if Hashem's going to have them recover on the spot from their bris mila, unbelievable, so they could recover on their spot from the priya as well. Why couldn't they trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would provide that protection for them? V'hu yishlach ezram v'refuah sami kodesh. And Hashem will send forth healing as He always does. What is the secret of not doing priya in Mitzrayim? So says the Avodas Yisrael, Ela inyan hu kach. And again, Chavah, there's a lot of subtle hints to Tu B'Shvat. Hopefully tomorrow we'll understand it even better, right? But Tu B'Shvat's a funny thing. I mean, a lot of us, Yaakov Weiss was outside shoveling snow yesterday. So what exactly is Tu B'Shvat? You know, oh, we're celebrating the revival of the trees, right? The emergence of the trees. So, okay, so maybe if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, it's one thing. But what about those parts of the world where the trees look as dead as they did a day before? Are we really going to see a transformation from today, Yud Dalet Shvat, to tomorrow, Tesvav Shvat? Are you going to walk out tomorrow morning and see trees in full bloom, right, blossoming and flowering and producing fruit? So what exactly is Tu B'Shvat? Right, what exactly is Tu B'Shvat? So Rashi has in several places, on Shas, Rashi writes, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, that on Tu B'Shvat, the Seraf Ha'ilan, the sap, which is sort of that inner energy, that inner life force of the tree, is ascending. In other words, even though you don't see it fully on the outside, the tree is starting to move towards a rebirth. And that is very, very similar in my mind to what's happening here with Klal Yisrael. All of a sudden we're like, well, yeah, we're Hashem's people. We're on the 49th level of Tova. A second later, oh, look, the birth of the nation, the Jewish people. And we're like, we're not quite there yet. And Hashem's like, right, you're not quite there yet. That's true. You haven't revealed everything yet. Priya is the stage of what Mila is, sort of cutting away the negative. It's cutting away the foreign piece of skin, the foreskin, the part that doesn't belong. Priya is uncovering what's beneath. So we weren't really ready to do Priya in Mitzrayim. Again, I'm adding a little bit to the way he's about to say it, but I think this is what our Rebbe is telling us. I think this is what the Kushnitzer Magid is saying. Ela ha'inyan hu kach. Let's read inside. Ha'inyan hu kach sha'priya hu sod giloy elokus. Priya is the process of, it's the secret of revealing godliness. It's revealing what's hiding beneath the surface. It's not just removing, it's not just taking away, cutting away the negative arla, the foreskin. But okay, so I removed the negativity, but now I have room to reveal the positivity, to reveal what's beneath. So that's what Priya is. Priya is the sod, is the secret of Giloy Elokus, the revealing of the godliness beneath. Besod Pera Yud Hey.
Oh, hi, Yaakov. Oh, you can have that, sure. You're hungry? Go for it.
Okay. Hasn't crashed the Zoom sheer in a while. My little buddy. Okay, good. So what is Priya? Priya is the secret of Pera Yud Hey. Para Yud Hey means to what? To uncover or to reveal Yud and Hey. Yud and Hey, of course, is Hashem's name. Yud and Hey are the first two letters, the root of Hashem's name. So Priya, the letters of Priya, is sort of the revealing, the uncovering, right? The unmasking of the Yud and the Hey, to reveal that full connection to Hashem. And we didn't have that yet in Mitzrayim. We were barely alive when we got out of Mitzrayim. Right? It's interesting. If you think about the name Paro, it's also very interesting. Think about the name Paro for a second. It's Priya minus the Yud, right? It has all the letters, Pei, Resh, Ayin, and Hey. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a very interesting Torah where he talks about the letters Pei and Resh as they relate to Mitzrayim. And I know, Yehuda, I know you're thinking about certain things to do with Nitzotzos and Pei Resh, the Paradinim, right? Pei Resh has a lot to do with Mitzrayim. There's Paro. Yosef names his son Ephraim. At the beginning of our parsha, what does it say? It talks about Peor. Right? We have a reference to Peor again. The Pei and Resh has a lot to do with the world of Mitzrayim and things related to Mitzrayim. Very, very interesting. I have to think about that, what that means. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky again has a Torah where he talks about Pei, Resh, and Mitzrayim. There's other Pei Reshes that we encounter in Mitzrayim, but those letters Pei and Resh are names that have to do with things connected to Mitzrayim. But Priya is sort of the unveiling, right? Is the removal and the unmasking of the Yud and Hey that's hiding beneath. Okay? So now let's see. V'i efshar lahem legalos ha'elokus legamrei b'mitzrayim. Aleph Aleph. I efshar. It was not possible for them to fully reveal Hashem's presence in Mitzrayim. Why is that so? Because, again, that subtle, that very... you know, fine balance of getting out of Mitzrayim and staying in Mitzrayim long enough to do what we needed to do in terms of a spiritual tikkun. Ki lo yachlu lisma mea od. They couldn't wait a second longer. Rak b'chipazon malu. They quickly circumcised themselves. Uvedam pesach uvedam mila nigalu. And in the merit of the blood of the Karban Pesach and the blood of the mila, they were redeemed. Velo b'maaseyim. But we didn't have a lot of mitzvos. We didn't have a lot of merits to get out of Mitzrayim. Right? We didn't have a full, uncovered relationship with Hashem. There was a lot of potential there. Hashem obviously looked at us and saw that we have the possibility of being the Jewish people who get the Torah. But we're not really there yet. We're hanging on spiritually by a thread. The only merit that we have is a little bit of blood Pesach, a little bit of blood Mila, a little bit of self-sacrifice. Ki hayu oz eirom ve'eriyah. It's a phrase that we find in the Navi. I believe it's the Navi Yecheskel. He says we were Eirom ve'eriyah. It's in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, but it's a pasuk. Eirom ve'eriyah. We were naked and bare. That means spiritually, we were naked. We didn't have any merits. We did not uncover our full relationship with Hashem yet. Ukamo shahayu makatrigim oz hasarim, and that's what we find that the makatrigim means the accusers, right? The ministering angels of our enemies. We're claiming in Shemayim against us. Why are you saving the Lu Ovdei Avodah Zarah? V'halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Right? The Egyptians worship idols, but the Jews are no better. They don't have any mitzvos. They're not good people. I don't get, what do you see in them, Hashem? And Hashem says, okay, give yourself bris mila. Should we do Priya? You're not holding by Priya yet. You haven't unveiled your full potential yet. Right? And therefore, in Shemayim, the Malachim are saying, why are you saving the Jews? Halalu, again, Ayin Zayin stands for what, Chevra? Ovdei Avodah Zarah. These Jews are a bunch of idol worshippers. That's not a theoretical. That's what it was in Mitzrayim. We were on a very low level. So therefore, it was not so simple. It wasn't obvious to save us at all. And we certainly had not uncovered the full bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We weren't fully there yet. Ukamosha kasavti hadrush ba'arichus b'hagos l'sefer gevuras Hashem ayin sham. And he says, I already wrote about this at length in my writings on the Maharal's Gevuras Hashem, which we know the Kadosh Ramagid wrote. He wrote a lot of super commentaries on the Maharal. Okay? But here's the punchline. Here's the bottom line. V'nimtza al koponim shayu oz Yisrael be'etzem be'katnus hamochen. The bottom line is, we see from here that the Jewish people were on a state, were on a level of katnus hamochen. Now, we're going to get a little bit more Kabbalistic now. Okay? But because I don't really understand it, and because I want to keep it simple for all of us, we're going to explain it in a very, very simple way. When we talk about mochin de katnus and mochin de gadlus, what's the moach? Point to your moach. Where's your moach? That's right, your brain. Okay? So what does it mean to be in a state of mochin de gadlus or mochin de katnus, without understanding anything Kabbalistic about it? What do you think it means to be in a state of mochin de gadlus, where your mind, where your brain is in a state of godless? What does that mean? What do you think that means? Avi, what do you think that means? What's mochin de godless? What's mochin de katnus? How would you explain it as a mental health issue? What does it mean to be in a state of mochin de godless or mochin de katnus? What would you say? What do you think? Michael Froelich, you want to take a stab at it? What do you think? What is mochin de godless? What is mochin de katnus? What do you think? Yeah, Donnie, talk to me.
I think I saw it in Irv Pinson's book. Maybe it's like expansive godliness, like a more awareness.
Okay, I like that. Expansive is a very good word, right? Godless doesn't just mean big. Godless means broad, expansive. I like that. It's a great word. Mochin de godless means that my mind is what? Is broad. I'm able to see things in a big way, right? Mochin de godless is a certain narrow-mindedness or a smallness of one's mind, right? Which causes a person, again, a person who's very rigid in their thinking, has a hard time navigating different situations. A person who has a broad perspective, an expansive mind, a person who sees the big picture, right? A person who's not trapped in a certain small-mindedness or a particular way of thinking, is able to navigate life more easily than a person who sees things with a certain tunnel vision. So very good. So mochin de godless means a certain expansiveness of spirit, right? My mind being the place where my neshama resides. And like you say, some people say a paragraph before they put on the tefillin, we say, ha-neshama shebamochi, the neshama in my mind. So when my mind is in a state of godless, right, that means I feel good. I see things in a broad way. I'm able to interact with the world in a nuanced and complex way. When I'm in a state of mochin de katnus, right, I feel like my whole life's collapsing. I feel like I'm really stuck in a particular way of thinking or stuck in a particular situation, and I don't know how to rise above it. Good. So now, when the Jewish people were coming out of Mitzrayim, right, how would you describe the state of their moach? Right? I told you, they're a little bit dazed and confused. Hashem grabbed them and pulled them out of Mitzrayim. They're not really sure what's going on exactly yet. And therefore, Hashem has to take us out of Mitzrayim and guide us in a certain way to make sure we don't fall apart. And what we're going to learn in the rest of this piece is sort of the back and forth, the moments of godless and the moments of katnus that the Jewish people experience in that first week coming out of Mitzrayim. Happens to be deeply connected to many ideas in the Kisvei Arizal, but let's see if we can understand the words. Let's take a look. He says, again, let's read the words again, V'nimsa al kol panim, Shayu oz Yisrael be'etzem be'katnus hamochin. The Jewish people, when we came out of Mitzrayim, we were in a state of katnus hamochin. We didn't really understand what was going on. The angels in Shemayim are screaming, you don't deserve it. And we're buying into that narrative a little bit, right? We don't really deserve it. We don't get it. Well, what's going on? Why is Hashem choosing us? What's happening here? Rak shehofia aleihem Hashem yisbarach b'chasadav mochin de'gadlus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness, granted us a little bit of a mochin de godless. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his chesed, kind of lifted us up, put us on a pedestal, gave us an experience that we didn't really deserve. Again, We only had a little dam Pesach, a little dam Mila. We weren't great people. We didn't deserve such access to God. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mochen de godless. He gave us a moment of wow, that clarity coming out of Mitzrayim. Bechevra, when you have that spiritual high, what usually happens afterwards? What happens afterwards? It comes crashing down. It's not stable. It's not sustainable. So let's talk for a second. So how do we go through that process? Right? How do we experience that process in the way that we celebrate Pesach? You have the Pesach Seder. Your mamish on a high, the Pesach Seder. Wow. You know, Laila Kiyom Ya'ir, like the Navi says, a night that is just so bright and illuminated. It transcends all the darkness. No? How do you feel the next morning? Even physically, after all that matzah and all that wine, you come, right? It's like you're so like groggy the next morning. You wake up with that post-Seder headache, yeah, and like you're trying to get to shul, you're running a little bit late, and like you're just trying to get your act together, right? And last night you were mamish, you know, halal, and you were flying high. It was unbelievable. And now you come crashing down. That, in a very real sense, that's sort of mirroring the experience of Klal Yisrael. So what happens when we kind of grew a little too fast? What do we do next? What happens after Pesach? What happens starting from the second day of Pesach? Right, Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is sort of the gradual step-by-step-by-step way of actually having a real relationship with Hashem. So the Pesach Seder is like that, you know, that awesome Shabbaton, Shana Aleph, where you like, you know, you were saying crazy things to your roommate about how you're going to change your life forever. And then like, you know, then like you kind of wake up a week later and you're like, okay, I'm not going to become a tzaddik overnight. I know like, you know, we went on that Tzvat Shabbaton and we stayed up all Friday night learning together. And I thought like, I'm going to do this every Friday night for the rest of my life. But you're actually not. You're actually not. Most of us are not. So then, okay, but I tasted something there and I want to hold on to that. So I start to do it step by step. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls us out of Mitzrayim. In truth, we're really in a place of mochen de katnus. That's really where we are in terms of our actual spiritual level. But Hashem in His kindness lifts us up and says, okay, I'm going to give you a taste of godless. I'm going to let you see your potential and who you actually could be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us in that way. V'limeid z'chus aleyem v'yizkor chaste avosam uga olam. Hashem is malamed z'chus. Hashem sees the good in us. Hashem remembers that we come from people who were actually great people, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the kindness and the behaviors of the Avos, and in their merit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So we got sort of this, you know, Hashem lent us spiritual connection, right? And gave it to us on loan because He believes we can actually get there. We're not actually there yet, but Hashem believes that if we keep working hard, we'll be able to get there. Okay, Chevra, good? Ulefizeh, so now look at this. Ulefizeh, Yorei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahanchosam Derech Eretz Plishtim, Pen Yinochim Ha'am. How does our Parsha begin? When Paro sends Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, right? V'lo Nacham Elohim Derech Eretz Plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not, Nacham, Hashem did not lead us by way of the land of the Plishtim. Why? Because Hashem was afraid that if we got into a skirmish there, we'll get into a little battle with the Plishtim and we'll want to go back to Mitzrayim. Why? Why would we go back to Mitzrayim? The second we encounter a little opposition, we're falling apart, and the answer is yes. Because our true Madrega is actually very, very low. We're not holding in a strong place. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what? I'm nervous, so to speak. I'm too anxious. I'm afraid to take them Derech Eretz Plishtim. Because God forbid, the Jews are going to regret leaving Mitzrayim. They're going to want to go back. And why would they want to do that? Machmas shelo hayu be'etzem mikusharim b'Hashem karaoi. Because our relationship with Hashem was one-sided. We weren't be'etzem. What does be'etzem mean? Essentially. We weren't essentially mikusharim b'Hashem karaoi. We weren't essentially connected to Hashem karaoi, as is fitting. We were holding on by a thread. Hashem was dragging us along. Right? Hashem's leading the way out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem's pulling us behind Him. Right? But we're mamish dragging our feet. We don't have the strength to walk on our own. We're not built up. Hashem says, I promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I see the potential of these Jews. And Hashem grabs us, these dirty Jews, in a low place in Mitzrayim, and starts schlepping us along. But we're not really there yet. We're not really on that madrega yet. Now, let's keep going. Because we're going to see the ups and downs. Because what happens? What happens? Okay, so you're not on such a high level, right? Let's talk practically for a second. So you're not some big tzaddik, you're not so deep into your religious development, but you have a powerful religious experience, and you feel it. So what is happening? How does that work? How does that even work in those moments? How does that work? If you're on such a low level, so how do you even tap into that, you know, to that great shir? Or how do you tap into that great Shabbos? Or how do you tap into that great Shmona Esrei? How do you even have those breakthrough moments? Where does that even come from? How does that even happen? How would you explain it? What happens? How does the low Jew get that burst of inspiration? Again, we're saying partially it's Hashem. Hashem's giving us a gift. Hashem's giving us a loan. Yeah, Leo, how does it work? I'm looking for just a simple understanding.
Yeah, and yeah, our neshama is tapping into something that our minds aren't maybe usually accustomed to, but because we're yid and we understand our neshama, then it sort of connects that way. It's
okay.
Deep in our essence that we can get it.
Okay, good. So meaning, essentially, it's always there. Right? It's just a question of priya, like we were learning before, of uncovering it, of revealing it. Right? So sometimes the neshama, so to speak, bursts through and reveals the essential connection that we do have to Hashem. Right? So meaning, when the Avodas Yisrael writes over here that we weren't be'etzem mikusharim b'Hashem, he doesn't mean be'etzem, be'etzem. Right? Be'etzem, on the most essential level, we're always connected to Hashem. But as far as we understood it, as far as we understood our relationship with Hashem, we felt we were just being schlepped out of Mitzrayim. There's a part of us that's ready to run. There's a part of us that's so confused that we're prepared to even go back to Mitzrayim. So now, look what happens next. V'hinei Isa b'Rashi b'dibur ha-maschil v'yasu chein. Rashi explains, Kisha Omar lehem Moshe lachzor lifnei batzafon. When Moshe asks them, as Hashem is playing this game with the Egyptians, Hashem says, Moshe, take the Jews a little bit back towards Mitzrayim. Right? Well, we just left Mitzrayim. Moshe, are you lost? Is ways not working in the wilderness? Like, what's going on here? When Moshe says to them, go back towards Baal Tzafon, Amru, they said, Ein lanu ela divrei ben Amram. We don't have anything other than the words of ben Amram. In other words, what? Haminu b'lev shalem b'chol devarav. They trusted Moshe Rabbeinu. They believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe says to do it, we know to do it. So again, so what's going on with these Jews? Are they on a level of high faith? Are they on a level of low faith? Do they get it? Do they not get it? It's hard to understand what's going on here. So says the Avodas Yisrael, Ulefi zeh, kosha ma haisa hatzaka achar kach. So if they have such a muna in Moshe that if Moshe tells them to go turn back to Mitzrayim, and they say, okay, if Moshe says so, we'll do it. So then what happens a couple of days later when the Jews are crying out to Hashem that they're scared they're going to die? What was the screaming and the crying? When they saw the Egyptians chasing them, were there not enough graves in Mitzrayim? They had to take us here to die. All of a sudden now they're falling apart again. So I don't get it. When they left Mitzrayim, Hashem pulls us up to a high level. So were we there or were we not there? You have these moments where Klal Yisrael have this confidence and this emuna in Moshe, this trust in Hashem. Everything's going to be good. We're at a Mitzrayim. B'nei Yisrael yoytzim b'yad rama. They're confident. And then you have moments where Klal Yisrael are completely panicked, that they seem so frail, on such a low level. What's going on? Ela ha'inyin hu. Rather, the matter is explained as follows. The inyin hu kach. Dihinei. Now he's going to explain to us something that really is in a sense beyond our control. Again, what he's about to explain is a very deep idea. We're going to try to keep it very simple just to understand the point. But if you look in the writings of the Arizal, that's what he's about to do now. And I'm sitting here, I have a Pri Etz Chaim from Rav Chaim Vital right next to me. The days of Sfiras HaOmer also is a roller coaster ride. Meaning we look at Sfiras HaOmer as, okay, each day we take another step, another step, another step. But it's mamish a roller coaster ride. Sfiras HaOmer is this process, and again, without even trying to understand what any of it really means, where the Arizal says, we're going through this process of these moments of mochen de godless and mochen de katnus and mochen de godless and a mochen de godless sheni and a katnus sheni. It's mamish a roller coaster ride. And that's actually what's happening to Klal Yisrael, exactly the way the Arizal describes what's happening during the days of Sfiras HaOmer. It was happening to Klal Yisrael, precisely to the day. Look at this. Take a look at this. We don't have to understand it fully to get the idea. Ela inyan hu kach, dihine b'yom shlishi, kisha amar lahem lashuv lufnei piachiros. On the third day, out of Mitzrayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu told them to return towards piachiros, on the third day, out of Mitzrayim means what? Yom beiz l'sfiras ha'omer. The second day of Sfiras HaOmer, right? Because we start counting Sfiras HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. So the third day of Pesach would be the second day of Sfiras HaOmer. If you look in the writings of the Arizal, when he describes what happens during the first week of Sfiras HaOmer, Shebo nichnas gadlus sheni, ayin sham. The Arizal writes in the Kavanos Ari, in the writings of the Arizal, it's in the Priyetz Chaim, in the section on Sfiras HaOmer, that on the second day of Sfiras HaOmer, we enter a state that's called godless sheni. A second degree of godless. And therefore what? Va'oz hayu b'chinas gedola. We were on a high level. Videya rechava, to use Dani's word, deya rechava, expansive mindfulness. Lahamin be'emuna shleima b'divrei Hashem yisbarachu v'moshe avdo. So when Moshe tells you to do something crazy on that day, Klal Yisrael are in a good state of mind where they can say, yeah, okay, no problem. I'm sure that makes sense. Even though if you were in a state of katnus hamochin, you would say, this is nuts. But because they're in a state of expansive belief, expansive mindfulness, Moshe Rabbeinu says, turn back to Mitzrayim. And the Jewish people say, Ein lanu ela divrei ben Amram, Moshe, you're our Rebbe, you're our leader. Whatever you say, we're going to do it. No problem. Masha ein kein, however, b'yom ra'osam es ha-mitzrim, but when the mitzrim are chasing them, and the Jews look up and they see Mitzrayim, what day was that? That was yom ha-shishi. That was on the sixth day after leaving Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf takes place on the seventh day, Shvi Yishal Pesach. On the sixth day from leaving Mitzrayim, the Jews get nervous. Why? Because the sixth day after leaving Mitzrayim is the fifth day of Sfiras HaOmer. And if you look over there again in the writings of the Arizal, and again, we don't have to really understand what any of this means, but the Arizal tells us that on the fifth day of Sfiras HaOmer, we experience a katnus rishon. On the fifth day of Sfiras HaOmer, there's some type of katnus. So when you're in a state of small-mindedness, Jesse, what's going to happen? You're going to panic. You're going to get nervous. And that's exactly what happened. The Jews panicked. V'niskatnu ha-mochin. Their minds became small. Their vision became narrowed. Achinish ara ha'amuna lahekatnus. Their amuna was in a shrunken state. V'yardu madregas habitachon. And they lost their faith. And that's why they got nervous. They started to panic. Until, of course, what happens? Kriyas Yamsuf. What happens the next day? Achuba yom zayin shel Pesach. Where the Arizal says, what happens on the seventh day of Pesach? Nichnas godless sheni. They go to an even further state of godless hamochin, and then Oz Shamu al Moshe, they listen to Moshe to do something even crazier, to literally walk into the waters, to jump into the waters. Vahaisa Yehuda Lakadsho, Vahayam Ra'a Vayanas, the sea is ready to split right open. And the Medrash says, Ma Ra'a, what did the sea see? Right? What did the S-E-A-S-E-E? What did the sea see? Ra'a Arono Shel Yosef. It saw the what? It saw the Jews carrying the bones of Yosef. As Rav Dov Ber, as the Maggid of Mezrich explained, Ki miderech ha'isha bira'osa ish tzadik hi borachas umasteres atzma mipanov. When a woman sees a tzadik, she hides herself, she covers her face, she steps aside. In a certain sense, the yam, representing a certain feminine energy, sees Yosef a tzadik, a certain confidence of a tzadik, and it parts ways. V'havein ki hu sod amuk. And understand this well, because it's a deep secret. I'm not sure exactly why he's adding this right now, but the point is the Jews were on a high level to be able to just plow right through the Yam. So we're going through this roller coaster ride on the way out of Mitzrayim. And however, even though these ideas are rooted in very, very deep Kabbalistic ideas, It's such an important thing for us to understand in our own spiritual growth. We sometimes think like, okay, I turned that corner now. Oh, Godless Hamochin. Right now I'm like, I had a great week of learning. And I was able to, like we were learning, you know, in the Nesiva Shalom, I was able to be mindful of Inyanei Kedusha. And I had a strong Shabbos, and I even had Shalosh Shudas this Shabbos, right? And then the next week, all of a sudden, I'm falling apart again. And I'm trying to understand, what's going on? How is that possible? How is that happening? But Chava, this is mamish, the experience of Klal Yisrael. Maisa Avos Simon Labanim. This is exactly the way that life always goes. This is the way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay? Let's just do 5 more minutes. Let's do just a drop more. V'nachzor le'inyanenu. So now let's come back to our topic. Kevan shebiyom hashishi niskatnu hamochin v'hayiridas hamadregos. Since on the 6th day from leaving Mitzrayim, which was the 5th day of Sefiras HaOmer, the Jews had a yirida, a katnas hamochin. Mizeh atzmo hirgishu hamitzrim b'tumasum uvekishufam v'lo hevinu hadavar la'amito. He says something amazing here. He says the Egyptians picked up on that. Our enemies sensed the Jews are vulnerable. Now, they didn't understand what was really happening on a spiritual level. But the Egyptians had a koach of tuma, of kishuf, of black magic, of astrology. They had the ability to pick up and to read the energy of the Jewish people. And they sensed our energy. They didn't really understand this was all part of Hashem's master plan of mochen de gadlus and mochen de katnus, of moments of elevation and moments of yirida. But the Egyptians sense, ooh, the Jews are weak. The Jews are vulnerable. There's moments where the Eitz Hara looks at you and says, I can get him now. He's in a low place. They didn't understand the truth of the matter. Right? They didn't understand the davar la'amito. Rak shehelu bedaitam ki b'nei Yisrael nevochim heim ba'aretz. But they understood, or they thought they understood, that the Jews were what? Were lost. Right? Navuch means confused. We were getting trapped in the wilderness. V'yardu madregasam. They sense that the Jews were not confident that they had lowered their madrega ad sharadfu achareyim. So the Egyptians decided, you know what? Maybe we can get them back. Maybe we can catch the Jews. Now this, says the Kashrus Magid, look at these next words. V'ine kol zehaya mechaste habore yisbarach shamo. But Chavra, think about this. The Yerida that we went through, that caused the Egyptians to think that we were weak and vulnerable, that inspired them to chase after us, allows us to what? It's all a setup for what? Tell me, what's it a setup for? Shai, why is Hashem doing this? Why is Hashem sending us on a roller coaster ride? And it's a question we ask ourselves. I'm not talking studying Jewish history. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about why is my life sometimes a roller coaster ride? And the answer is this line right here. Hine kol ze haya mechaste habore yisbarach shemo. It's all the chesed Hashem. You know why? Because if we leave Mitzrayim and we know that our oppressors are somewhere out there, if we know the Egyptians are still somewhere out there thinking about us, we still feel victim. We feel like we're victims. We still feel threatened. We're not able to finish off the ghosts of our past. So you know what Hashem does? Hashem puts us in a moment of weakness. The enemy chases after us, and we panic like crazy. Oh yeah, yeah, we're going to end up back in Mitzrayim. We're going to get killed in the wilderness. And Hashem says, hold on, my final magic trick. Stay tuned, Hashem says. I caused them to chase after you, to be able to finish them off at the sea, to be able to give you all the spoils, the bizas hayam, the spoils of the yamsuf. Hashem says, the arida is what? Litzorech aliyah. I made you temporarily vulnerable so that your enemies could think that they can get the better of you, but then you're going to destroy the enemy once and for all. V'katnas hamochin haya yarida tzorech aliyah. Ever underline these words. The katnas hamochin that we experienced, this moment of vulnerability, is an opportunity to what? It's a springboard for growth. It's a yorida litzarach aliyah. Ki lu le katnas hamochin, because if we don't have that momentary setback, shall Yisrael lo chizku hamitzrim esrucham lirdof achareim biyam, then the Egyptians don't have the confidence to chase after us. And if the Egyptians don't chase after us, v'lo tubu bayam, then they don't drown at the Yam. And if the Egyptians don't drown at the Yam, well then our relationship with Hashem is not as strong as it could be. Because lo niskabed kvod shemayim, we don't have that wondrous experience of seeing the hand of Hashem by the Yamsuf. Ki eich noa lusare soan, How could the Sarei Tzoan, that means the Tzoan is a place in Mitzrayim, how could the officers of Mitzrayim be so no'alu? How could they be so foolish? Achere kol ha-makos shehuku, after all the beating that they took in Mitzrayim, now they start chasing after Klal Yisrael? What are they, crazy? The Egyptians are nuts. V'achere kol ha-nisim shiro sheyotzu bi'ad Roma, v'ata ro kriyas yamsuf v'yischazku od lashut b'metzula. Right. Now, all of a sudden, they see the sea is splitting for the Jews and the Egyptians are chasing after them. What are they, crazy? They don't know God's going to get them? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to run the show. He's able to give us a temporary Yerida, to give the Egyptians a temporary false confidence for Hashem to do his final performance by the sea. Ela inyan kanizkar la'el. The ideas we explained above. Machmas she'er gishu al yedei itztagninusam. They sense with their itztagninus, with their astrology. They sense that the Jews were in a low place. And Amru Belivam, they said, maybe the Jewish God can't provide. Maybe the Jewish God ran out of tricks. Shemoshion Shay Yisrael Hayarak Al Pi Shemos Elokim. Like Paro began the whole thing. I never heard of Hashem. I never heard of a God that is truly the God of all gods. I only know about Elohim. I only know about God as operating within nature. But you just saw all these above nature, you know, miracles in Mitzrayim. You just saw 10 Makos. But maybe God ran out. Maybe he ran out of tricks. Maybe the Jews are really stuck actually in the wilderness for real this time. Right? Maybe this is a Yerida that I won't recover from. Maybe that's a good way to say it in our lives. Maybe this is a setback that I'll never be able to overcome. And now the Yitzhar is all excited. He thinks he's got you once and for all. Maybe the Moshiach Shel Yisrael is only al pi shemos Elokim. Maybe Hashem can only operate on a certain level. Vahu elaka de elakaya. Maybe God doesn't have. Maybe there's levels of gods. V'nosan hamemshala lekoach echad b'shamayim. Maybe God is outsourcing, you know, the responsibilities to different kochos in the heavens. Hamaniges Yisrael ulefamim yored akoach, and maybe that energy has run out. For Kotzra Yado Mehoshia. Maybe the outstretched hand is not stretched out enough to save. And all of this was the trick that the Egyptians fell for. Aval Kasher Tovu Bayam. But as the Egyptians were drowning, and we finish with this, Chavra. As the Egyptians are drowning in the water, and this Shabbos, as we read Parshas B'Shalach, Vero Kol Gvuras Shehem Chasodim Li Yisrael. Again, underline these words. That even the Egyptians came to realize that the suffering of the Jews was really just a chesed in disguise. It was all because Hashem loved us. And it was all part of the formation of Klal Yisrael. Hevinu ki shem havaya hu elokim ve'ein od. Right, Jack, this is what we were learning in Balatanya last night. That what looks like Elokim, what looks like Gvura, what looks like Midas Adin, what looks like a Yerida, right? When the roller coaster goes down and you're screaming because you think I'm gonna die, right? Eventually, don't worry, you're gonna be fine. Hashem is the conductor, Hashem is the driver. Hashem knows exactly where he's trying to get us to, and the Jews come to the realization that Hashem hu Elokim. When it looks like Elokim, when it looks like Midas Hadin, when it looks like my life is falling apart, realize it's just a Yerida Letzarach Aliyah. Right? That there's nothing other than Hashem's kindness governing my life. Ain't owed. Va'amru Mitzrayim anusa mipnei Yisrael ki Hashem nilcham lehem b'mitzrayim. The Egyptians cry out, as the pasuk says, Shemos Perek Yudalid. The Jews won once and for all. You know why? Because Hashem was nilcham lehem b'mitzrayim. Hashem daika. This name Hashem. It was all chesed. Dahainu. And he goes on and he explains, it's late, we have to stop. But he goes on and explains that when the Anan, that cloud that was leading Klal Yisrael, moves behind us, it's the way of saying that clarity, that cloud that was guiding us, is going behind us so that even the Egyptians will have that clarity. In their dying moments, the Egyptians realize, wow, Hashem was playing us this whole time. It was all part of the master plan. And again, the ups and downs that the Jews experienced in that first week out of Mitzrayim, right, scripted right out of the Kisvei Arizal, of the different kolchos that we go through in that week of Siras HaOmer, to understand it's all part of Hashem's master plan, and to be able to have the confidence to realize that it's all really the Chesed Hashem, and the Yeridas Letzarech Aliyah, And Hashem is just, you know, Hashem is just setting up the Yetzer Hara for an even bigger fall. He's giving the Yetzer Hara a false confidence to go after you, and then Hashem is going to boost you back up, and you're going to be victorious once and for all. So that whole process, again, of coming out of Mitzrayim, where we had a Mila, but we didn't have a Priya yet, right? We were cutting away from the negativity, but we hadn't fully expressed all of our inner potential. Again, it's so much connected to Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat tomorrow, you look at a tree and you say, how did the tree change from the 14th to the 15th? Yesterday was snowing for some of us. Tomorrow, I don't imagine you're going to see a tree blossoming in full bloom. And yet, something's happening, right? Something beneath the surface is happening. Something is starting to rise up. On the outside, it looks like a yerida. On the inside, the sap, like Rashi says, is being ola. The Sraf HaIlan is being ola. Things are starting to get to their proper place. And the avoda is to have the amuna, to hang tight, and to be able to ride out that roller coaster of life, and to have a good time doing that. Like the great Mashkiach Rav Shlomo Volbe said, and with this I mamish conclude. Rav Shlomo Volbe said, if you look at a heart monitor, right? So it's up and down, it's up and down, it's up and down. A flat line, you would think, oh, flat line's great. Flat line means smooth and steady. No, flat line means you're dead. A flat line means you're dead. Up and down means you're alive. Right? That's a really deep Torah to remember. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu clearly governs our lives that way. So we have to learn to see it, you know, in a deep way and try to embrace it. Okay?